Here to talk, I think this is the end of the Psalms We Sing thing. I think you can maybe even blame me for this thing. I don't know. I stood up at a first early service. Well, they shouldn't all run off now. We're just getting to the good part. I'm just kidding. I stood up at an early service a few months ago and said, we're going to start singing Psalm 103 like we used to 100 years ago. And I think that turned into an idea in Alan's mind to do a Psalms We Sing thing. Maybe it was there already. But in any event, happy to do it. One of my favorite pieces. So we got some ground rules, though. We're going to use the King James, and you'll see why when we get to it in just a few minutes. This is a Psalm of David, although probably from later in his life, although that's just scholars, you know, doing some studying from what he's talking about and how he's talking about it. And I'm not going to waste a lot of time on transitional material or we're trying to sew things together. It's likely to just be a bunch of thoughts because this what this psalm is, let's get started. I think it's one of the three best psalms ever, all right? That's what I think, all right? And even one of the three best ones for these reasons, that it is so beautiful. And it is so gentle to your soul, and yet it is powerful, I think, to move your soul. One thing I want you to think about here is if you look at this psalm, David doesn't ask for anything in this psalm. And I think that should be our lesson number one. But the key phrase, I think, in this whole thing is the, oh my soul. And here is David, I think, encouraging us to not just let your Christianity kind of reside in your head. A couple of you saw some of the material I had running in between services, encouraging you the idea that talking to yourself is a good thing, particularly if you talk encouraging things to yourself. And points they made were pretty interesting. They said talking to the third person. So, bless the Lord, O Lance's soul, is a good way to say it to yourself. Oh, my soul kind of gets you a little different distance anyway. And what I'm talking about is your deepest, most undeniable feelings and thoughts. Those things that are the you that is you, the stuff that you can't deny you're actually thinking about. Now, interesting. It's to bless God with all of you. So I heard this news about the Trinity Church last night. And let me tell you, first thing that went through my mind was, I give up. All right, I admit it, I give up. And I got discouraged, and I said, wait a minute, you're talking about this. And so I started to coach myself. I said, Lance, you can't let yourself be run by your feelings. You've got to remember who God is. You've got to remember that you asked him to be in charge, so, you know, let him be in charge. And on the way here this morning, I had a thought about it as I was coming here, and the thought that came into my head was, hey, there must be something he's got for us here still, yet. So just encouraging yourself and your soul can actually turn you around. Let's see. Oh, some of you may think that this term, bless the Lord, how do you bless the Lord? Blessings is something we usually, you know, you think of somebody in a higher position doing something for a lower position or for whatever. But actually, it's just exactly one of Merriam-Webster's standard definitions. So don't worry about that, all right? Basically, what you got to think of is, bless the Lord, O my soul, is praise him and tell him he's great. There is this other idea, though, that all that stuff in the in-between was about. Was all about that talking to yourself, more about talking to yourself. It's not a big deal. Matter of fact, David wasn't ashamed to show that he had this inner conversation. He published it for all generations to see. And my mother used to tell me, I caught her talking to herself one time, and this is what she told me. It's the only way I get any good answers around here. Which I thought was just terrific. She's got a bunch of good one-liners. Her other favorite one that I'm learning pretty good right now is, this growing old isn't for sissies. So, more stuff. If you were in here, you saw our buddy Dusty Baker, all right? But David didn't need those modern psychologists or Dusty Baker or Batman. I thought the Batman one was kind of funny. To get past this idea of go ahead, have this discussion with yourself to push your belief in God further down and further into your heart. Don't give up with just, for a long time I was like, I'm a Christian because Christianity describes the condition of man better than any other religion or philosophy, and it helps you get through life better than anything, gives you a real solid footing on solid ground. For crying out loud, if you look at the creation around you, all the way from the vastness of the universe to the absolute information that is detailed in DNA, you're taking a huge leap of faith to say there is no creator. These are things that are all up in my head, but it took a long time to move it down into my soul. And I'll tell you, this psalm is part of one of the biggest things that helped me do that move, all right? And as a corollary to all this, if you're talking to yourself, it's probably advice you can trust, all right? So do it. One of the other things I think about, and I mentioned it this morning, you want to move Christianity from your head to your heart. One of the very best things you can do, oh, just by the way, just a little aside, Dusty Baker, if you didn't know it, he's credited being one half of the very first high five. Okay, back in when we were playing for the Dodgers back in the early 70s. So, how do you like that? There's a piece of trivia you couldn't have lived without. One of the reasons we got to talk to ourselves is life is so full of distractions, right? I mean, honestly, and David admits this in the psalm. We'll see that in some of the things he says. But we're finite people, and we get distracted, and we have trouble focusing. And it's okay to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Just stop for a moment and make it happen. One of the best moments to make that happen is to make the time, and I just love being here early service on Sunday mornings. Most of the time I just sit, and like I said earlier, let you guys and let hymn writers and let the scriptures just tell me that God loves me every week. And eventually it soaks in, and you get this fact that I am safe in Christ. All right? It is a beautiful thing. So don't neglect that. I think the idea of what we write up here, this do in remembrance, is forget not all his benefits. So there we go. Now, I want to get you guys involved. I'll give you a minute to each of you give me one liner about some of the benefits that you have seen God bring into your life. And because you've known him, just shout them out. I'll give you 1 minute.
Answered prayers.
Answered prayers. Whether yes or no. Peace. That's a good thing. That is a piece of knowing God.
My wife.
Very good. Well, that, you know, true. Absolutely. I mean, the things that came to my mind were family is the first thing that comes to my mind. That was the first part of the family. Thank you, John. Others? It may not be our plan, but we get what we need from him. He knows our needs deeper than we do. The Holy Spirit. You get God actually communing and indwelling with you. Joy, peace, and joy. Let's go all through all the fruits of the Spirit if you wanted. That's really good, you guys. I was going to have to tell you, I thought if you didn't say anything, I was going to have to tell you this. You better not forget all his benefits because he's promised not to remember your sins, okay? Forget all your sins. So I'm glad to see that you guys had lots of stuff to shout out. And since you got almost 10,000 things shouted out, us up later.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name.
Very good. I can tell you guys like that one. All right. Now, one of the most fun things about this psalm is, like I said, I snuck into the preacher's notes when at the first service, and oops, whoa, there it is, it's already there, is metaphor, okay? And I was going to put up, like I did earlier, I was going to put up the Merriam-Webster definition, which is all of this words here, but I thought, when I found this on the web, I think this is just even better. You want to be able to express your heart. You want to be able to talk about some of God's fundamental truths in this world. You can express them very, very well with analogy and using figures of speech from life to do it. I mean, if you've been a student of the Bible for any time at all, you've figured this out once you got to the Psalms or any of the sort of other wisdom literature, even in the prophets. Whenever you, if you have a Bible that takes the text, the Hebrew texts that actually are written in poetic form and puts them in poetry, you know, in the middle of Isaiah and all through, like all of Isaiah 53 is like that, and lots of other things in the prophets, and look at it, about a third of the Old Testament is actually written in poetic form. It's pretty interesting, and I love it. And so here's the first one that pops out at you. You better start thinking literally. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you think God literally heals all our diseases? I mean, he's certainly able, but one of the things that started to annoy me in English usage is this term, this use of literally, and how people just throw it around and use it so much all over the place all the time. And people take and they're going to make use a figure of speech, they're going to use a metaphor, but they throw literally in it to sort of undo it. And I wish Brian was in here, because I can imagine that after last week's Ohio State-Purdue game, that somebody might have said, well, Brian got so mad, he literally burst into flames. But he just untied it by saying literally. He didn't set himself on fire, maybe he wanted to. But the better way to have said that would have been, he literally burst into tears. So we know that God hasn't literally healed all our diseases. We know that. He doesn't. But does God figuratively heal all our diseases? And this is where we get at the stuff that the Psalms and all of this Hebrew poetry is made of. You see pairs of lines, all right? Who forgiveth all your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases. These things are parallelisms. We'll get to that in a minute. What else does it say here? Oh, so let's just talk about healing for a second there. So I wanted to have a good sermon, so I put a Lewis quote in it, okay? people... what if God did literally heal any disease every time we asked? I'm certain this is one of Lewis's thoughts. It's not the quote yet, though. But people would come to him for all the wrong reasons. Just saying, I got enough faith. I'm going to have faith and I'm going to make this happen. Understand this. Faith doesn't set the agenda. If you got faith, your faith is going to follow God's agenda. He's not going to allow us to manipulate him. He is God. We are not. And the thing that Lewis said that I enjoyed, you know, honestly, it's a good thing to die if you're a believer, right? We don't like to go through it. We certainly don't like to go through it when our loved ones go through it. But it's a good thing. And this is the best thing. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And so don't worry about that. And David doesn't want us to think that we're going to get all our physical diseases healed. I mean, by the time we get to verse 15, he's talking about how temporary man is. For as man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But the wind passes over and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know of it no more. So we see that David's on to something much bigger. He's back to the soul issues. And really what he wants to talk about is not, he doesn't want to talk about a common cold or a bad hip or even cancer. He's pushing down deeper. He's pushing down to these things that dirty our soul and including our sin. And he wants us to catch on as he's written this, that forgiveness is to the soul what healing is to the body. Which brings me to one of my very, my current, one of the three best songs ever on the sovereignty of God.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. It's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. And you are God alone.
Outstanding. You guys are tracking with me all the time. That's really good. Another quick thought here. Going back to who forgiveth all your iniquities. I was doing my study for this. This isn't my idea. This is one I found and I just thought it was terrific. It's contrary to the character of God to ask for his forgiveness and then not forgive yourself. Now, Maybe some of you don't have that problem, but we know who we are, and it's just a good thing to think about, all right? It's just a good thing to think about. Now, I was very pleased to see, well, we'll get to that in a second. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, destruction. He's talking generally to people, all right? Not everybody's life is facing destruction. Not everybody's reign as king is facing destruction or whatever. But what he's talking about is getting crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And this is kind of the idea behind redemption. Sure, we know it means to buy back, but just doing a study of redeem in the Bible, the Psalms of David are like the third time this word appears in Scripture. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? It appears first in Leviticus 25 in the Jubilee Law, of all places, which if you're slogging through Leviticus, I can still remember the first time really trying to slog all the way through Leviticus, and it's hard, I admit it, it's hard. But you get to that Jubilee passage, and you go, well, how cool a world would this be? You know, it's just I just encourage you to read it. It's just marvelous. You say, this would be such a fantastic world. And you're encouraged that if somebody gets out of, you know, if somebody has a tough time and they got to sell their land or their property to meet their responsibilities, the law says that somebody, their nearest relative's got to come and buy that stuff back and get it back into the family. And the whole Jubilee thing makes it works a little, revert back to the original owner in the end. It's really pretty good. The next time it's mentioned is in the book of Ruth. And I'm glad to see that my buddy Dave is going to be talking on Ruth in a couple weeks. And I was going to go into the story of Ruth here. Suffice it to say that Ruth is redeemed. Her life was basically destroyed. You know, she wasn't from Israel, but she found herself living in Israel after her husband and her father-in-law had both died. They come back. She's taken advantage of another law in Leviticus, that they're kind of their workfare law, that says, when you're harvesting your field, leave a strip around the outside so the poor people can at least come and gather up something so they can survive, all right? It's a pretty good law. She's trying to take advantage of that, and Boaz comes along and says, well, I'm just going to redeem you, young lady. I'm going to bring you under. And you know who is Ruth? You know who Ruth is? She's David's great-grandmother, okay? So, I mean, in David's head is this concept of redeemer. It's in the stories that he's heard that his great-grandmother was redeemed by this civic leader called Boaz. And so, yes, I was fascinated to learn that David's the first guy that really starts using this term to talk about the Lord. I didn't go in any scholarly works to do that. I just sort of did a search for redeem, and chronologically, this is the third place it happens. So, you know, David, being the heart, you know, man after God's own heart, we got time to sing redeemed. Do you want to sing redeemed? You do? All right, we'll sing redeemed. I was anxious to get on to the next story, but hey, this is a great song too.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna confess of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed.
Yes, so you guys sounded great. It's fun to be up there and listen to you guys sing. It really is. Buddy Arthur's always telling people to be participants and not just spectators, and it's sunk in with you guys. It's really good. It's really good to listen to you from up there. Another fun bit of figurative language. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Do you think that, I mean, we can be real thankful to God because he gives us, has met every one of our needs too well for a lot of us, for some of us anyway, for a couple of us, me. and it made me think, but is he talking about clusters of raisins and cakes of figs? And it's interesting that this thought came to my mind, and it probably was because I was just thinking of the story of Ruth being redeemed, this idea of clusters of raisins, cakes of figs, kegs of wine, and a few other things that in the story of Nabal and Abigail. So Nabal's this guy who kind of curses David, and David's men are going to go get him. And Abigail comes with this big load of great stuff and says, David, I'll just have mercy on my husband. He's a jerk, I know, but just you know, have mercy on him. And David tells his guys to back off. And interestingly enough, Nabal dies, I think it's that night or the next night or something, pretty darn soon. And David eventually, you know, ends up taking Abigail as wife and kind of ends up redeeming her from in this whole thing. So he kind of pays it forward, which is pretty good. And it's kind of, you know, this satisfies your mouth with good things. He uses it in Psalm 34, which is another psalm we sing, that taste and see that the Lord is good. And right now, that since that's one of the other songs, psalms we sing, it's right now it's time to get to this one, all right? We've done the very first hymn is a pretty close approximation from the 19th century when we did Bless the Lord, O My Soul. That's a pretty loose interpretation from the 21st century. I got one that's literal from the late 20th century. We don't do it often enough. A lot of people think it doesn't fit. The words are hard to fit in. But the words are the Word of God. And this tune buried them in my heart, and I continue to love it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'm going to leave you hanging there right now. I'm going to leave you hanging there, because we got to look further into the psalm before we sing further into it, okay? How many of you, that's the first time you ever heard that? That's what I figured. About, you know, there's a few of us oldie molies around here that were that sang that back in the day. It really is. I don't know. I think I credit that song for part of the reason that I still love the Lord. I love the Lord today. Just that tune just drove into my heart this beautiful scripture, and all of the great things about Hebrew poetry that it speaks to us. All right. Now, like I was talking earlier a little about Hebrew poetry, and I started to study that online, and I found this thing about parallelism and synonymous and synthetic and emblematic. You know, this is how I think about it. This is how I've always thought about it. Hebrew poetry is not like English poetry. English poetry is all based on rhyming sounds, right? Hebrew poetry changes rhyming sounds with what I call rhyming thoughts, rhyming ideas. You read the two lines in a row, they're not going to rhyme with the final sound at the end of them, but the second line will always be like maybe just a simple statement or paraphrase of the first. It might be explanatory or clarifying. It might give you a little bit deeper into that first idea. And sometimes they're even contrasting, all right? So, for instance, some of the ones in here, a contrasting idea. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And David, I think, is pointing out there that Moses went after God and ended up knowing God. He made his ways known unto Moses. It was kind of a sense of revelation for him. Whereas the children of Israel, they were wandering in the wilderness and they weren't following and they all had to die. And they end up just observation. And the idea is, don't end up being one of those people that just sees what God does. Be one of those people who communes with God and knows and knows what he does. So, like I said, these parallelisms in this one are just beautiful. They started back in verse 3, and they continue through to the end. And so I just made a little chart of them, of the thoughts and the rhyming thoughts, okay? Now, we're going to sing all of this text, so we might as well just go through the ideas rather quickly. He redeems your life from destruction. What's the thought that he rhymes with that? He crowns you with tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth so that your youth is renewed. I mean, gives you reinvigoration in your soul. This is all soul stuff, right, we're talking about. He does what's right, and he sees that the oppressed get good judgments. The Lord is merciful, slow to anger, gracious, and abounding in love. He doesn't always poke your finger poke his finger into what you've done wrong and lecture you. He will. The Holy Spirit is a double-edged sword. Brings lots of comfort, brings conviction. But he won't always chide. Well, neither will he keep his anger forever. And the best one, I mean, the one that just, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I mean, that just never has left my head. As high as the heavens are, so great is his mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he moved our transgressions from us. Now, you understand, this is one of my favorite ones. And I'm not sure David meant it this way, but he might have been thinking this way. You know, north and south. You want to go north from here? You go north, you go to Mackinac, you go to the Sioux, you go past Lake Superior Provincial Park, you get to a little town called Wawa, the road turns to the west there, and now you're just bushwhacking it up until you get to Hudson Bay, Baffin Island, and the North Pole. And once you're at the North Pole, all directions are south. You're done going north. North and south are finite trips. You want to go east or west? You can start going east. You can go east forever, all right? You can go east forever. And you confess your sins, boom, they get left there, and you move on, all right? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And just like parents have compassion on their kids, God pities us. He knows how we're made. He actually made us. He remembers we're finite. We already looked at about the days are as grass and the flowers, and people wither away and be forgotten, but not so God. So let's go on and do a couple more verses. Oh, dear. Okie dokie. Let's start right into it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the Lord's mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have we removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are but dust. And that's it, guys. We don't have another page of lyrics yet. We may do the whole thing. Although that's where I get a lot of grief from all my friends and family. As much as I love it, you got to kind of work to get all the lyrics in. But what I do like about this is it's a beautiful tune. And you're not memorizing somebody's paraphrase of the scripture. You're memorizing the scripture. It's direct word, except for a word, one or two words here and there. It's It's almost verbatim, which is beautiful. Well, let's go back here. Let's just finish up some of these parallelisms, and then maybe we will. We got time. We got time. You don't have to follow along in the fourth and fifth verse. You can just listen if you want, but if you want, you can try. God's mercy is everlasting. So great is the Lord's mercy toward them that fear him, his righteousness for generations. But, we got a catch. David isn't going to let us away with cheap grace, cheap mercy. Jesus died because we're sinners, and he expects us to fix our eyes on him and fix fix our misdeeds. He expects us to walk with him. He's enthroned in the heaven, and he's king over all right? So take that to heart when you think about those things. And then he just jumps out of his own life and out of the earth and jumps all the way up into the heavens and starts talking, telling the angels to bless the Lord, because all the angels who actually do all of his commandments and hearken to his voice, and all his hosts and all ministers that do his pleasure. And then he talks about the entire creation. Because these are themes that appear throughout the Psalms. All bless his works in all places of his dominion. And he ends up with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let me just see if I have left any thoughts behind. No, I haven't. And we got time. You guys are going to get to experience verses 4 and 5. Just enjoy following along. Fit them in as best you can. And then we're going to end up with, Lord, I need you. Yep. We'll start with the chorus again. I think the chorus is up, right?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know of it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting among them that fear him, and his righteousness in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
All right, I think I actually made it through all that stuff. I did. And Yeah, let's just do this. Let's just do this. And then close in prayer, okay? Okay, you're in charge later.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need. Sin runs deep, your grace is born. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Admit that we need you. Without your benefits, we could not survive. Your mercy and your forgiveness are what heals our most virulent disease. We bless your holy name for removing our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And we offer you ourselves now to listen to your voice, to do your will, and to keep your commands, and to take us home safely. And care for us as we move through all the details of our week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, hey, one last thing I mentioned. I told you all about the Super Supper, but they're going to need some help setting up tables, all right? And also about the trunk or treat, I'm just going to need somebody to help me. We got some traffic cones so we can keep people directed around. I'm going to need somebody to help me hustle those in from my truck. So either head downstairs or be the one guy that looks for me.